He suddenly dropped his bantering tone and looked at Bond sharply and venomously.
"Where is the money?"
Bond's bloodshot eyes looked emptily back at him. Again the upward jerk of the wrist, and again Bond's whole body writhed and contorted. Le Chiffre waited until the tortured heart eased down its laboured pumping, and until Bond's eyes dully opened again.
"Perhaps I should explain," said Le Chiffre. "I intend to continue attacking the sensitive parts of your body until you answer my question. I am without mercy, and there will be no relenting. There is no one to stage a last-minute rescue, and there is no possibility of escape for you. This is not a romantic adventure story in which the villain is finally routed and the hero is given a medal and marries the girl. Unfortunately, these things don't happen in real life. If you continue to be obstinate, you will be tortured to the edge of madness. And then the girl will be brought in, and we will set about her in front of you. If that is still not enough, you will both be painfully killed, and I shall reluctantly leave your bodies and make my way abroad to a comfortable house which is waiting for me. There I shall take up a useful and profitable career, and live to a ripe and peaceful old age in the bosom of the family I shall doubtless create. So you see, my dear boy, that I stand to lose nothing. If you hand the money over, so much the better. If not, I shall shrug my shoulders and be on my way."
He paused, and his wrist lifted slightly on his knee. Bond's flesh cringed as the cane surface just touched him.
"But you, my dear fellow, can only hope that I shall spare you further pain and spare your life. There is no other hope for you but that. Absolutely none." "Well?"
Bond closed his eyes and waited for the pain. He knew that the beginning of torture is the worst. There is a parabola of agony, a crescendo leading up to a peak, and then the nerves are blunted and react progressively less until unconsciousness and death. All he could do was to pray for the peak, pray that his spirit would hold out so long, and then accept the long free wheel down to the final blackout. He had been told by colleagues who had survived torture by the Germans and the Japanese that towards the end there came a wonderful period of warmth and languor, leading into a sort of sexual twilight where pain turned to pleasure, and where hatred and fear of the torturers turned to a masochistic infatuation. It was the supreme test of will, he had learnt, to avoid showing this form of punch drunkenness. Directly it was suspected they would either kill you at once and save themselves further useless effort, or let you recover sufficiently so that your nerves had crept back to the other side of the parabola. Then they would start again.